In loving memory, I've written this blog back in July 2014. I was driving home when I got the call. All I could hear is terrible, accident, dead. It took me a whole day to put some kind of coercion between those words. What is going on? My mind kept reviewing a list of names. Names of friends, some very close, some not so close, that passed away in the past 12 months. Oh my, too many and all so young. What is going on? I had difficulty sleeping that night, so I picked up a book that was on my night table in hopes of diverting my attention. As I flipped through the pages, my eyes stopped on a sentence. There is an Egyptian proverb: to speak the name of the dead is to make them live again. Isn't that the truth? I thought. Over the subsequent days, friends and family got together to give support and to remember. Yes, the dead are very much alive. We never truly stop loving. The past is alive within us. The dead become part of the living, and the truly dead are the forgotten. There is a fog-like quality to mourning a loved one, but unlike sadness from another cause, this one we wish to hold on to and to linger in the fog. Yes, the Egyptians were absolutely right. Just the sheer idea of not remembering, not being with this heavy thought, can make us feel even worse. It's like we are desperately trying to hold on to what is left of the person, and sadness makes us feel that we are closer to our memories, so we cling. We cling to our sadness. Of course, eventually life literally shakes us up. One must go on. There are things that need to get done. Thank goodness life has a very much relentless quality that demands our attention. Wallowing in sadness is necessary to a point, but after a while it is purely destructive. I was having lunch with a friend whom I consider a spiritual guide. As we were sharing our emotions and trials in life, she said, "You know, Dora, the question is never, why me? The question is never why suffering happens. The true question is always, you were given this trial, this adversity, this loss. Now what are you going to do? How are you going to channel suffering into serving?" I dropped my fork and I gazed at her as she sat smiling. "Gosh darn, you're profoundly right. Again, it is good to be aware of where suffering originates. To some degree, we must give our body time to digest emotions. But we can only truly find a way through if we step into action, step out of our small self-centered self and reach out to serve other humans, to work in a meaningful, creative environment, and to give love and attention to someone else other than our own mind. One must keep moving and keep productive. Productivity and contribution to family and society is what lifts us out of sadness. There is a contradictory element to human existence. The individual organism, the self, wants to stay alive, so our mind keeps referring back to me. The organism, the selfish gene, that needs to survive. But we only thrive and live in joy if we contribute to the well-being of others, if we contribute positively to society with meaningful work. The second that we focus mostly on the survival of our individual self, if we are self-absorbed in our own thoughts and our individual goals, we find nothing but misery. Of course, we need to take action to take care of our own health and existence, but it is surprising to discover how little we need and how much capacity we have to give. One can look at this fact multiple ways. The atheist may declare that serving others is the logical choice if we want to live in joy. The Christian mystical will see suffering and serving as a connection to Jesus and his message of serving the less fortunate. And in yoga, it is our dharma to serve and to complete our given duties in this world. Yoga is most often translated in the yoga community as union between mind and body. I have studied the Bhagavad Gita with Professor J.L. Garfield, a Doris Silbert professor in humanities and a professor of philosophy at Smith's College. His understanding of the word yoga in the context of the Bhagavad Gita is yoga as discipline. He summarizes Krishna's message in the Gita to Arjuna in the following way. Quote, "We gain significance in our lives through our relationship to the whole, but it's the whole that's the source of meaning. We gain significance in our lives through our relationship to the whole, but it is the whole that is the source of meaning." The Bhagavad Gita represents the universe as a vast, organic unity that is itself divine. It is not something that stands between us and the divine. Our duty is to recognize our relationship to this whole and to serve the discipline in a meaningful way. No matter what point of view, we all experience this fact. To illustrate, I will give you some examples. We're lost in our thoughts, all tangled up. A friend calls and needs help. We jump up right into action. Our small self disappears. We get joyfully lost in a call of duty. Alternatively, imagine how you feel when you're given a gift. How long does that joy last versus giving a gift and watching the face of your loved one lit up? Which one is the deeper joy? We were created for each other. We were created to share and to give. Alternatively, for humanistic atheist friends, we have evolved to exist more perfectly with each other, and we have evolved to share and to give within a society or in a small group. It is all the same message, no matter how you look at the subject. As my mind lifted up of the week-long fog of mourning, this message solidified within me, and I was jolted with sudden burst of energy. From seemingly nowhere, I went from lethargy and pain to energy and life. After all, our loved ones would wish us to continue and thrive, not to sit and marinate in sadness. The gift of the dying to the living is the realization of the preciousness of life, how precious each and every relationship is in our life. How many people have you lost touch with or tried to forget? How many do you take for granted? According to the Egyptian proverb, the forgotten ones are the truly dead. We all have a list. It is so easy to avoid that uncomfortable conversation. It is so easy to avoid saying sorry, and equally easy to spend time with someone without pausing and giving them gratitude. It is only when we take time working through our relationships that we grow and learn. If we avoid interpersonal conflict and deep quality conversations, we make our world smaller and we make ourselves small. To quote my dear friend again, either everything matters or nothing does. So go out there, sit and meditate, do your yoga every day, but just long enough to know where your heart lies and then live in action. Awareness in action is meditation in action. Don't just sit there, do something. That's right. I just turned that nice yoga saying on its head. Go, get up, serve, work, and contribute. Reach out to that family member or that friend that you have forgotten. Help a stranger with groceries. Do anything. Just take a moment every day to do something for someone else, and you may just find heaven on earth. In memory of Melissa, Kim, and Zandy. Their memory will live within us as an inspiration for selfless, joyful living.